step back and literally fuck your own face.
Oh my god.
That miserable little bag of puke.
Nag, 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 nag.
But unlike some people, I have a heart, goddammit.
You're listening to the dirtiest motherfucker in Texas.
Let me clear my throat.
On Fat Guy Loves Cake.
Good Friday morning to you, and welcome to Fat Guy Loves Cake. I'm Joey. I am your host. This is my podcast. It's a comedic podcast, a funny outlook on life where I like to talk about whatever I want. I hope it keeps people interested and laughing. You can listen to me, for those of you who don't know and are new to the show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, very, very early because I put them on the night before, after midnight. So when you wake up and you're driving to work, you just pop it on. And you can hear me for anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on how much I feel like talking the night before. So I'm glad to have you. Thank you, new listeners. And there has been a lot of them. And thank you, continuing listeners, for tuning in and making me feel like I have some sort of purpose in life besides just being something that takes up a lot of space, you know, because... Yes, it's an ongoing theme. You know, when I started Fat Guy Loves Cake, it was not with the intention of being like, hey, this is all about weight. That's actually, I just like the name, you know. And I thought, because I was making a dating profile, and it said, describe this chapter in your life. And so I put Fat Guy Loves Cake. And then I thought, wow, that'd be a really cool name for a podcast. So here we are. I talk about anything and everything, just so you know about me. New listeners, I am a child of Generation X. I love the 80s, so you will hear me talk about the 80s a lot. I have been everywhere, seen everything, done everything, and now I am a law-abiding, well-mannered, clean-cut, fat guy. not really that fat. I mean, I'm just overweight, and I just can't seem to find the motivation to stop being... that. So anyway, like I said, Friday morning, and here we are, and I hope everybody's got some awesome plans for the weekend. If you have plans where I live, it's fucking cold, although I am very southern Texas, and if it's cold here, I don't even want to think what it's like elsewhere. I know there's all kinds of winter storms blowing in from the east and the north, and then there's like some sort of possible tsunami in the west. I sound like a weatherman. Yeah, well, folks, we're going to expect a little bit of cold down here in South Texas with some cold air blowing in from the north. Now, if you live in the East Coast, you're pretty much fucked, so you can expect to not get shit done, stay indoors, and a whole lot of COVID, and fucking blah, blah. If you live over in the West Coast, you might be thinking, hey, I got a break from the snow, but that doesn't matter because a volcano just erupted in the middle of the Atlantic, and there's a shitload of high waves coming to destroy California. You know, when is that state going to finally fucking fall into the ocean? I mean, it's like, if it's not one, is this not like the most apocalyptic state in real time? At any given time, it's shaking. All right, like massive fucking earthquakes. It's always on fire. Like fucking always. Even when it's not that bad, it's still always on fire. Whole cities go up overnight in California all the fucking time. It's not even news anymore. Now they got a tsunami warning. I mean, like seriously, when is the fault line on California going to finally give in and sink into the fucking ocean? So yeah, it's been like 40 degrees. And here where I live, it's been like 40 degrees, and then 80, and then 35, and then 80. It's too much to handle. I cannot deal with this cold weather. I cannot deal with Texas and its absolutely fickle weather. This is actually not that common. Texas, it'll get cold for like 1 month and it'll stay cold. But this is 80 degrees, right? Beautiful day, and then I'm sitting here with my window open, and then all of a sudden, it's like someone turns on a fucking freezer outside, and it starts blowing in, and it's fucking 40. That's a massive drop, and then to go back up to 80 the next day, you know, it messes with your sinuses, messes with your head, messes with your fucking brain, makes you crazy. This weather, it's like my ex-wife, like, yeah, you never knew how she was gonna be. Like, someday she'd be hot, someday she'd be cold. Oh! I don't even know who the fuck I was doing. I was starting off with Dangerfield there, and I somehow went into Dice Clay. Anyway, funny statistics I read. If you go the RSS feed that supports my podcast, everyone who has a podcast has to have a registered RSS feed, a company that supports it. Like, you go on Spotify, and you know there's podcasts on Spotify, but they're not on Spotify. They're hosted on Spotify through, or maybe, no, not, they're streamed through Spotify through the host. Like, my host is Buzzsprout. It's a very popular host. You know, and for a few bucks a month, you know, you upload your data onto there, and it's secured. And then you can take that one feed, and you can go and you can pin it on everything. Spotify, and Pandora, and whatever. Well, the cool thing about Buzzsprout is that it has your statistics, like anything should, but it has statistics that are so unbelievably in-depth. I didn't even know this. I just started looking into them. This was how I found out, you know, what demographic was listening to my show, like as far as being a lot from South America, Argentina, and Peru, hola. And then, you know, it'll show you how many people were listening on their phone, whether it was an Android or an iPhone, whether it was a laptop or a desktop or a satellite. Way fucking cool. But then I got into looking through the statistics today, and there's a part where it says, Google searches led to you. The top three Google searches that led people to Fat Guy Loves Cake. Check this shit out. Number one, chubby guy. Number two, fat guy fuck. And number three, zero bias. All right. So apparently, fat guy fuck. If that's leading people to me, then maybe I need to start kind of incorporating that into my show. So if you're here because you searched for fat guy fuck, I'm sorry to disappoint you. There will not be any fat guys fucking. And if you Googled chubby guy, then you are in the right place. If you Googled zero bias, you are also in the right place. I do understand how that one could get mixed in with Fat Guy Loves Cake because people don't want to be judged and zero bias. And here at Fat Guy Loves Cake, we don't judge anyone. We love everyone. We do not judge you for your weight, your looks, what you're into, your color, your creed, your religion. All you got to do is be a good person and we'll love you here. So those are, according to Google, the top three searches that lead you to me. However you got here, I'm just glad you are. So I'm watching these commercials about getting fit, losing weight, really, you know, pushing yourself hard. You know the commercials, like you see them all the time because, you know, if anything, there's two major industries in America, one for giving us the weight that we gain and one for taking it away. So basically, America is living off of fat money because we pay to get fat and then we pay to try and get rid of said fat. So there's always commercials for Gatorade, Peloton, I don't know, fucking what else, Nordic Track, this new mirror, which actually looks pretty cool. There's all these commercials, especially the Gatorade ones crack me up, you know, because every person they show in these commercials is like super, super fit, like just a fucking beast, you know, got the best muscles and they're dripping and they're pumping. It's like, yeah, you know, I want to be able to do those things. I know Gatorade's not going to make them happen. I know that getting out of bed and going to the refrigerator makes me sweat like that. I don't need the rowing machine. With these commercials, people running up the stairs, sweating, pumping their bodies, Gatorade dripping off their bodies in different colors. Yeah, it's easy to do all that shit when you weigh 120 pounds. Show me a Nike commercial where some fat guy tries to run up the stairs and drops dead of a heart attack three steps in. You hear a flatline, you know, one of those heart monitors. Camera starts slowly backing away from the fat guy. A really fit runner goes running by without even looking. You see the Nike swoosh, and the announcer says, "Maybe don't do it." Show a commercial for a Fitbit where a fat guy is at the store, and the sales associate is telling him about all the features. He leaves the store with a look of determination. In his head, you hear him say, "This time, I'm really going to do it. I'm going to lose the weight." He starts walking towards his car, wheezing, you know. Next shot, he's on the couch, still in his sweatpants, still has his headband on. covered in ding dong and ho ho wrappers, watching people work out on TV. The Fitbit is wrapped around the dog's tail so that every time he wags it, he gets credit for walking like 100 steps. Truth in advertising. That's what we need. You know, there was a movie in the 80s called Crazy People with Dudley Moore, and it was about these actual crazy people who got loose and started working for this major advertising firm. And everything they pitched was just completely honest, and it ended up making sales go through the roof, so they kept doing it, and they were hilarious. One was, Fly United Airlines, most of our passengers get there alive. And they did an ad for a fictitious movie called The Freak, and the ad said, "It won't just scare you, it will fuck you up for life." That's great! Oh, and AT&T said, I'm paraphrasing, but it was, "You may not like us, but if we close, you'll lose your phone. AT&T, we're sick of your shit." That is gold! That's pure gold! It's truth in advertising. I would love to write truthful slogans for every big business in America. That would be great. I really believe that it would work. It's so against the system that people would welcome it. Don't you think? Everyone has got to be so fed up with the way it is in America now, but so afraid to say anything. Just stand by your convictions. You know, Dave Chappelle didn't get canceled. He did a Netflix special, and he made fun of trans people. He made fun of them bad. And all these people came out, "I'll never work for Netflix, and I'll quit." And Dave Chappelle, he stood the fuck by what he said. He didn't go, it was just a joke. No, he said this, you know. But see, Dave Chappelle, he's not sponsored by some corporation. You know, Netflix makes money off of him because of subscribers. So he can say whatever the fuck he wants. If you don't like what Dave Chappelle has to say, you don't have to fucking stream his show. And he's got the balls in 2022 to stand up and say, "Fuck you, that's what I think. Nobody's forcing you to listen to it. I'm not influencing anyone. This is what I think, and I want to make a joke." There was a time when comedians weren't scared to make jokes. And now, I read this article the other day about Steve Harvey won't even do stand-up anymore because he's on Family Feud, he's got his own something, or I don't know, some other game show, I think. You know, he's hosted beauty pageants. He said, he admits, because his stand-up's fucking dirty. Used to be. He admitted that he will not do a stand-up because he won't be able to say what he wants to say. He knows he'll lose every fucking thing he has. And that is sad, because he is a funny man. And if more people would just stop bowing down to the 0.0001% that is the actual woke America. You're only hearing about it because the media wants you to. I don't know any of these fucking people. I read about them all day, about how everything has to be so goddamn politically correct, and everyone's offended by everything. It's just a handful of college students. And when they start chirping, the fucking media comes running. I promise you, if you stick to your convictions, people are going to fuck off. And sales are going to increase. Do the truth in advertising. Here, I have some ideas for you. I got some great ones running through my head right now. Okay, you know how Chick-fil-A, like everyone was all like, "Oh, they're against gay marriage and all that," you know, because they're a religious organization. Well, guess what? They're a religious organization. It doesn't matter if you believe what they believe or not. That's what they believe. And religion is protected, okay? And that's why they've stood by what they believe. That's what they believe. You don't like it, don't fucking eat there. Here's a great idea for a Chick-fil-A commercial. Chick-fil-A, where you'll always feel at home. Unless you're queer. Then go eat somewhere else. Don't you think that would work? Wouldn't it be great if, like, the owner of Chick-fil-A in, like, his Sunday best suit did a press conference? And he was like, "Yes, I'm here to address the concerns that we've been hearing about how a lot of the homosexuals are unhappy with us not supporting gay marriage. We understand that you don't see eye to eye with us on that. We respect your opinion, and we'd also like you to respect ours. And we'd also like to say that you can go eat somewhere else, you fucking queerosexuals. Okay? Thank you.
No questions. No questions.
How about Taco Bell? Because you're high. Wouldn't that fucking go, right? I mean, pot's legal in America practically everywhere now. Even Texas is talking about it. So why not just say it? Why, you know, why even deny it? Not like anyone's eating a Taco Bell because the food's fucking good. You're sitting around and you're blazing one, and then you look over at your friend, and for some reason you both think, man, wouldn't it be awesome, bro? Like, if we were just full of fucking beans and cheese, man. You know? That'd be fucking killer, man. We'll go to sleep and wake up, probably, like, shit our pants while we're sleeping. And, you know, Taco Bell, because... Taco Bell, because you really like spending time in the bathroom. Taco Bell, for the fan of the toilet. Or how about for Uber? Uber, because you're too fucking high to drive to Taco Bell. Oh, I got him. I can do anybody. Let's see. How about DuPont, because fuck nature. That would actually go for BP as well. I'm on a roll here. How about... although this is probably a dying profession, but like a travel agency. Like, visit India. You may think you've had the shits bad before, but you'd be wrong. Oh, I'm making myself laugh here. Come to beautiful India. Come to beautiful India and meet the people who are always assisting you with your cable and phones. Come to merry old England, where people can barely speak the language they invented. Nordic Track, because you need something to hang your clothes on. That's the most fucking honest one right there. Like, every human being I've ever known in my life who I've been inside of their house that owns a Nordic Track always has clothes hanging on it, like an ironed shirt for you know, the next day at work. Oh, I got one. Here we go. This is for the NFL, for the fucking National Football League, the biggest hypocrites in the fucking world. And in case you didn't know this, America, the National Football League doesn't pay taxes. Okay, you do. All of us do. I pay taxes on a fucking house that I own. Why? This piece of land belongs to me. I own it. But I still pay taxes on it. But the fucking football league doesn't pay taxes at all? A billion-dollar industry? Fuckers. Anyway, my NFL slogans. Here we go. For the new advertising campaign. You're watching the NFL, where we say we really like black people, but we don't. Yeah. How you like that, NFL? Or any fucking sport right now that's drowning in woke sand? You're watching sports. Just tell us what to say so you don't stop watching. You're watching sports. We love gays, blacks, women, and Native Americans. Kill Whitey. It's a mad world. Got a little political today. I'm sorry for that. So I guess because I told some people that I would talk some more about jail, I guess I'll go ahead and finish up there. In case you are just tuning into the show for the first time, I was arrested for a suspended driver's license, and I spent 88 days in the county jail because I refused to get bailed out or pay any fines or anything like that. It was an experience. I am actually still friends with a few of those people to this day. There were, believe it or not, some good people in the county jail. Sometimes good people get locked up too. And then there were some bad ones, which I would imagine are probably still in or worse, or locked up or dead. But anyway, at no point in my time in jail did I ever not have fun, because that's just me. I mean, it's just jail. It's not prison. It's just jail. There's not sodomy happening. There's not stabbings happening. You know, there's fights, but that's just like recess in the playground in middle school. You know, there's nothing really horrible going on. You know, you're not going to get cornered and fucking shit stabbed by a bunch of Latinos so you can join MS-13 or whatever. You know, if you're cool, most of the time everyone else is cool too. You just respect boundaries. If ever there was a place where you can learn to social distance, it's jail. you do respect that fucking rule. When I first got into jail, there was this guy. His name was, I can't remember what his name was, but let's just call him Brandon, because that's close to it. It was some fucking Nazi name. And I say that because he was obviously a fucking peckerhead. He was, you know, you know him. You know him when you see him, especially as a white person who's been around all kinds of people in his life. You know, I know Peckerwoods when I see him. Sorry, I said peckerhead earlier. I meant Peckerwood. And he was real fucking trashy. But anyway, he was and almost always with a Peckerwood, they are like, not only do, of course, they hate people of color, but they also hate gay people. And he was convinced from the day I got in there that I was gay. I have no idea why. I know that a lot of my friends would love to chime in and say why, just for funsies. But I didn't go in there with like limp wrists and light loafers and prance around inside the fucking 8-man jail cell, be like, "Ooh, what's on TV, boys? Ooh, I got top." That's not the way it went down. I went in with my mouth shut. I felt everybody out. And then I started clowning around, and everybody took to me, and that was it. It was fucking smooth sailing for that whole 3 months. But that dude, he wasn't there but maybe the first 3 weeks that I was there before he went to prison. But he was so fucking convinced that I was gay, and so I played on it, all right? Like, everybody in the jail, out of the 8-man crew, was real big on prayer. And so whatever we ate, we always prayed, and no one ever held hands. What you did was you made, like, you know how you do a fist bump? Okay, so you got all these grown men in a circle, and they're just touching knuckles instead of holding hands. All right, so that we're not acting like fags. So I'm like, whatever, okay. But if that dude Brandon was ever next to me in the circle, he'd put his knuckles out, and I'd fucking hold his knuckles. Like, I wouldn't bump him. I put my fucking hand completely around his knuckles. Kind of like caress his fucking fingernails. Now you may be saying, "I don't believe that. That's bullshit." And I can see why, but let me back up a little bit. There were two guys in there. Two guys that I'm not friends with them anymore, but they end up being from my neighborhood. They moved away. That's why I'm not friends with them anymore. But they are both members of a gang called Hugh Stone. And when I first got in there, you know, they were like, "Where are you from?" And I know that that means, like, in gang talk, that's like, "What set are you in? What gang are you in?" And I guess I flashed the symbol for Houston, and I just said Houston. And so we were cool from then on. I don't know if they ever mistook me for a banger, you know, for a banger. Like, "Oh, this white guy's a banger." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I'm down with the..." I'm down with you, Stone. I'm in the top tier. I'm a first class general at you, Stone. Ask any homie. Ask any G from my neighborhood. You, Stone. Cool fucking guys. Cool motherfucking guys, man. So as soon as I got welcomed into the gang, I had protection. I didn't even know it. So we started playing spades. Oh my God, I love playing spades. Spades is the shit. If you've never played spades before and you ever have the chance to, accept. Tell them, please, hey, teach me how to play spades. It is so addictive. Need four people to play spades. Partnered up with the person across from you. We played spades, and that dude, Brandon, he was always, like, okay, where I was always sitting, because you don't have assigned places to sit. You got two tables, four seats each. You don't have assigned seats, but you have assigned seats. You dig? Me being the eighth person in there, I knew which one was mine. It was the one nobody was fucking sitting at. So where my seat was, I was directly facing the toilet. Okay? And shocking, there are no walls to guard the toilet. There is no door. There is no privacy. No. If you've never had the pleasure of taking a shit in front of seven other men, you will. You will. Eventually, if you are in jail, you can hold it for about a week. That's the longest I've ever gone. But at some point, you're going to shit or you are going to die. So my seat at the tables, playing cards, facing the toilet. Well, every time that dude Brandon got up to piss. And when anybody moved in the cell, you know, you always looked up. You know, you just it's a boring life. It's a boring day. So I'm looking up, you know, and I'd look up and I'd see him walking towards the toilet, then I'd look back down at my car. It's nothing to it, you know. And he'd always be like, "Well, you trying to look at my dick? You trying to look at my dick?" I said, "Man, you gotta get the fuck over that shit, bro." He played cards with us one day. He sat in for my partner. So he was across from me, and he was playing as my partner. And in spades, you have to bet how many tricks you can win. Everybody throws down a card, and whatever the highest card is that's played out in that suit wins that hand. You have to guess how many you think you can win before you start playing. So collectively, like if he says three, and I say three, and then he gets, you know, if he gets two, I got to make sure I get that fourth one so that we make that six. Well, we were playing, and I played the wrong card. Like as soon as I laid it down, I just wasn't paying attention. I picked the card next to the card I meant to play, but I played it. I couldn't pick it up, and it fucked up us getting our tricks. And he would not let it go. I told him, "Bro, I fucked up." I said, "Yeah, man, I wasn't looking. I was looking at the card, but I picked the wrong one. I let it down. So let's get back in the game." And he just kept going and going. Now this is, I'm going back to when I was talking about Chewy and, what was his fucking name? One of them was named Chewy, and one of them was named JD. Chewy and JD are my two Houston friends. They sat across from each other. I always played them in spades. It was me and whoever wanted to play against those two, my homies. And that dude, Brandon, was like, you know, he's just going and going and going and going. I said, "Why don't you just shut the fuck up and play the game?" An old jail cell gets real quiet, and he's like, he puts his cards down and he's looking at me, and he's got that look in his face like I just slapped him, like I took my gloves off and I was like, "I challenge you to a duel." He backs up, stands up from the table. He goes, "I ought to kick your fucking ass." Well, Chewy and JD, both very large Mexicans, stand up and they go, "You ain't kicking shit, motherfucker. You need to take your ass over there and sit down." And I was like, "Yeah, boy!" He kept quiet for the next couple of weeks. You know, he finally went to court. Brandon did, and he got 2 years in what's called state jail, which I hear is worse than prison. And he came back from court, was packing up his things. He had the guard was waiting on him in the doorway. He made sure to go to every fucking person in there and shake their hand and say how much of a pleasure it had been to know them, and then fucking walked right by me. And as he was halfway out the door of that jail cell, I said, "Brandon." And he turned around and he looked, and I said, "Watch out for your cornhole, bro." He makes his face twisted up in... The guard fucking escorted him out. Krong! Door closes. Oh, man. Can you imagine what the ride on the way to prison for him was like? He was probably so mad. Probably got, like, my face tattooed on his back with the word vengeance on it. Be like some Cape Fear shit. Everywhere I go, he's gonna be, like, hanging outside of grocery stores and shit. Well, that's one jail story down and like a million to go. I really will have to devote like a whole lot of time to that. But I thought I would treat you to one that I had just thought of earlier when I was thinking, what did I talk about today? It's Friday. Go enjoy the rest of your day. Remember, like, seriously, no punchline to this. The rest of your day, while you're at work, whatever you're doing, man, like just think about me. Think about me telling you this. Like, don't fucking get frustrated with anything or anyone. Like, don't ever let anyone have that power over you. Do you understand? Like, the only time that you get angry is when you let people rent space in your head for free. And that's your space. That's your mind. Nobody should be in there without your permission. If somebody's bugging you, if anything's bugging you, fuck it. Fuck off. Things always get better. I've learned that. If you're feeling depressed, I've got friends all the time I talk to, they're depressed, they're suicidal. I've had friends commit suicide. I've been through that too fucking much. There's always people that are going to miss you. I didn't mean to get off into a deep topic here, but I just want people to know that you can never say it enough. Like, if you're gone, People are going to miss you. But I would like to, I want to see everybody have a more positive vibe. Man, say hi to a stranger. Say, fucking smile at somebody. Cake fans, do me a favor. Like, at some point today at work, tell somebody you're really glad you know them. Like, for real. Tell someone, say, hey, like, I know this is going to sound weird, but, like, for real. I'm glad I met you. Like, I can't imagine what it would be like to come to work and you weren't here. Or tell your wife or your husband. Or your lover, or whatever. Tell them. They probably need to hear it. They should never get tired of hearing it. I'm Dr. Joe, and I'll be here next week to take your calls. I was supposed to have an interview with Aaron, like an actual interview with him, not just one where I roboticized his voice. Although I do think that's what he would have said. That's why I wrote his part for him. I was supposed to have an honest-to-God interview with him, but he is being a homo, and he's not responding. And I wanted to get this over with so that I don't have to worry about it, because I want it to be ready for your drive to work. But I promise you this, I vow to you Cake fans, I will have Mr. Aaron live on the show by Monday morning. So you do want to tune in for that one. You need to be present for the Monday show, because I'm going to call him and we're going to let the chips fall where they may, and I'm going to let him talk freely. I'm not going to interrupt him, and let him talk freely about when he tried to murder me with his car. Now, it is going to be 100% bullshit, but I'm going to let him say what he wants to say. And then when I'm done talking to him, because he won't be able to defend himself, I'm going to completely rip it apart. All right, my fellow overeating, Gatorade-loving, colored, sweating, homosexual, woke, transgender Americans, I will see you on Monday morning. Everybody have a great weekend.
And we'll sing with California when it falls into the sea.